Hey there, everybody. Welcome out to another episode of Redeemed Through His Blood. I'm Scott Durfee, joined as always by the beautiful one and only Deborah Durfee.
Hi, friends.
How's it going?
That's so nice of you to call me beautiful. Good.
Life is good.
Life is interesting and good.
Those are really interesting adjectives that you choose today.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. There's just a lot going on. There is a lot going on. But like, you had a surgery last Tuesday. That's a lot going on.
Another one.
I know. Yeah. The other shoulder.
You know, this has just been a really, I don't know how else to say it. It's been a jacked up 2025 summer. That's probably not the most, reverent or eloquent way to say it. But sometimes you just have to pick the words that fit. And it's been jacked up, Deb.
You know what? It reminds me of that TV show back in the 70s. You take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and there you have the facts of life.
The facts of life.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that. But
I think it was the facts of life episode or something. Yeah. Any of you know that? You take the good, you take the bad, you take them all, and there you have the facts of life.
I don't know what it is. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we put out our last episode, and since then I've had surgery and we haven't been able to come together to do this. We were going to make the attempt to do it last week right after surgery, and I was a little more optimistic about my
healing process,
brute strength or whatever, than was possible. We did get a great substitute our first night at Institute last week. We will not be doing that this week.
You're going to have a nap during the day.
Or something.
Get rested.
Or something. But you know, this has just been kind of an interesting little period of time. And I know it's not just us. I know that many people in the world, many people in our community, many people in our society and otherwise are just feeling a lot of, I don't know, angst. I don't know, disconnect. I don't know, fear. Many adjectives.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I call it interesting. Because first off, you know that I always say, no growing in the comfort zone and no comfort in the growing zone.
What if I don't want to grow no more, Deb?
So if you're uncomfortable, just know you're growing. It's not up to me. Don't tell me that. Tell somebody else that has control over that, because it is not me. So I get super uncomfortable. I've got employees that are going through massive, major health issues right now.
Right.
And I'm watching them go through surgeries and things that, I mean, you know, soon to be maybe chemo. I mean, there's just so many things going on. And we had this ridiculous episode in Orem, Utah at the university that just rocked, I think, the world. I really think it rocked the world. We just live in interesting times.
Yeah.
People have stuff, and we're not alone. I mean,
no, it's, and not only that, not everybody's world was rocked the same by certain events. They could have, and we're not making judgment, or we're not here to take a stand, and we're not here to take a promotion or any of that. But what we are here to do is to acknowledge that, you know what, life's a little bit messy.
It's been
really difficult for me, Deb. I just got to be honest. You know, I try to get on this podcast and put on a happy face. You know, I get on stage at work, and that's one of the areas where I feel so blessed. I love my career. I love what I do for a living. And all of that. But there's just a lot of messed up stuff going on. You know, you wreck your motorcycle on Memorial Day. A month later, I'm having shoulder surgery. 2 months after that, I'm having another shoulder surgery. Where the heck did summer go? Right? Poor me. Poor me. And that's really kind of, you know, if I were to be talking to, and I can almost hear their voices, you know, Big Al and John Lala, two of my sponsors in AA that are both passed on. I can hear them both saying that to me. You know, if I'm sitting down at the coffee shop with Big Al, for example, that's where he'd want to meet. And he's like, what's going on in your world? And if I just told him what I told you, he'd say, wow. You know?
You know what he'd say? Are you sober?
That's exactly what he'd
say. What else matters?
He'd say, if you're sober and you're drawing air and all of that, everything else is bonus. That's what Lala would say. Yeah. Everything else is just a bonus, Scott.
Yeah.
And I have to remember that. You know,
it's hard to put things in perspective, though, especially when you're in the thick of it.
Right.
It is so hard. Yeah. Especially when you're dealing with things you do not want to deal with, that you don't want to feel.
Right.
That you don't want to see with your own eyes. There are days you just want to kind of, I want to close my eyes and just curl up in a ball and have a really long nap. I want to wake up when I don't, when I can feel different.
When it's all over.
Yes. Yes.
When it's all resolved.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is.
It ain't going to happen.
No. No. And it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And we just keep going through. You know what? That reminds me of the other day. I've been kind of bouncing around in the Doctrine and Covenants. And I was in Doctrine and Covenants 136. I know we're not there yet in the Come Follow Me, but in verse 11. In Doctrine and Covenants 136:11, it says, "And if ye do this with a pure heart in all faithfulness, ye shall be blessed. Ye shall be blessed in your flocks, you shall be blessed in your herds and in your fields and in your houses and in your families." And I just thought, you know what? We just need to have that faith and that, you know, the obedience that we will be blessed in all things. I mean, I know we don't have herds and flocks, but what is my herd and what is my flock?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But, and on the, by that scripture I wrote, I just want to see God's hand in everything in my life, literally everything. And so I've kind of put on a different pair of glasses to just say, where can I see God? And he is everywhere. Like every morning when I'm driving to work, I look at that East Mountain and I see that sun rays coming over and I'm like, hey, Jesus, this is a good day to come. I think this is a really good day to just come and make this all right. Because there's a lot of people carrying heavy burdens, like hard, hard, heavy stuff. And we have talked to many of you and feel your pain and grieve with you, which is so hard.
I wonder... You know, we often hear, and I think that I can't go find it and quote it exactly, but I'd be surprised if I was wrong. But I think that there's a lot of places where our apostles and prophets have talked about Heavenly Father is hastening his work.
Yeah.
Hastening his work. So I wonder if, you know, you and I talk about this stuff every day, obviously. Well, maybe it's not obvious, but we do talk about this stuff every day. That's one of the things I think that makes yours and my relationship kind of cool. Kind of special, you know, is we have all of this, all these things in common. I wonder if it's because we're getting older that we're more sensitive to the effects of sin, to the effects of the fallen world, to the effects of physical and spiritual death. Or I wonder if there's, or if this is part of the hastening.
Well, you know, when the prophet says at the pulpit, it will be impossible to survive spiritually without the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
We need him. Without. We need the Spirit. Yeah. We need to have something there. And he talks about the tumultuous times.
Right.
I had to Google tumultuous.
Oh, what did you learn?
That it's bad.
Yeah.
Tumultuous is, I mean, there are a lot of, I told you it's not primary talk, so I have to Google big words. But, you know, I don't remember exactly the definition,
it's bad. Yeah.
But it's tumultuous means not calm, not peace, not easygoing.
Yeah.
And it's not just a few of us that are going through tumultuous things.
Yeah.
The entire world is going through tumultuous times.
Yeah. Maybe I could just say to our listeners right now, listeners, if there is tumultuous times in your life, raise your hand right now. How many hands do you think just went up?
All of them.
Yeah, probably.
That or they're not.
Or they're not listening.
Listening. Yeah. Rewind.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I could ask the question a different way and have a different response. But also, in all seriousness, though, I think you're right. Yeah, I believe that there is a quickening. I believe that there is a hastening.
Yeah.
I believe that as we draw closer to the end of times and as we draw closer to that beautiful, glorious day of rapture when he'll come again, I believe that we will continually, potentially, and I think, you know, we hear it from our apostles and prophets, I think that this is the way it's going to be. And so if that's the case, we need to be prepared.
Yeah.
We have to prepare ourselves to be able to go through the things that he is asking us, inviting us, assisting us to go through to draw us closer to him.
Well, you know, I ask this question a lot in Institute, and I say, you know, how many of you have had an incredibly spiritual growth moment in your life? And, you know, hands go up. And then the next question I ask is, when you were going through that big growth experience, was it easy? I mean, it's never easy when we're uncomfortable. I just don't think we grow in the calm. We enjoy it now. When the calm comes, it's like, you better enjoy it because it's not going to be here very long. But it's so crazy for me, especially. I think of the times that I really had to cry out and plead for help and guidance and direction and inspiration and revelation, because I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't just floating through life because my life was just rainbows and butterflies. It was hard. And that's when I grew the most. And that's when I knew I had a Heavenly Father that knew my name. That's when I knew that I have a brother, Jesus Christ, that knows exactly what I'm going through, because he was in a garden and dripped drops of blood and hung on a cross and suffered for me. And I know that because of the hard things that I have endured and I have the things that I have gone through. And I don't want to wish that on anyone, unless you could get that same result in that knowing, because knowing that he's there makes the next hard thing a little bit more bearable, for the simple fact that I know I get to learn something in this. And you know what? There are some times that I don't see the lesson. I just saw the hard, but those are probably my eyes, not my spiritual eyes, not being open. And I'm just feeling sorry for myself, which is probably true too.
Over the past few episodes, two or three, we've talked about faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, and we moved into a little bit about into the power of faith, and we could probably spend, and maybe even should, but we're not going to, more time on faith. And I think the reason that you and I have decided that it's okay for us to move now into the topic that we'll be talking about, or that we'll be addressing and visiting with more detail over the next probably two or three, maybe more episodes, is really, okay, faith is good. We could do a little recap, right? In the very beginning of this season, we talked about who we are, and we talked about whose we are, and how come that's so, why that's so important. Then we talked about Heavenly Father's plan, and we talked about the fall, and how the fall is ubiquitous. We're all affected by the fall of Adam and Eve, every one of us, in many, many ways, in some the same ways, in some ways that are different from each other. But we're all affected by the fall of Adam and Eve, and sin is a part of that, and other things, spiritual, physical, death things, are a part of that too. For example, you know, I have an autoimmune disease, and that's been kind of messing with me again lately too. And I know that many other people out there do. I know that you just made reference to a friend of ours who's dealing with some pretty serious cancer issues. And we pray for her. Mm-hmm. And we have others that have gone through and are going through some of these same things. And these are all, Deb, effects of being separated from our Heavenly Father, by coming to earth, by taking on mortality, by getting this gift, you know. And we talked about how we should even celebrate our mortality. We should even celebrate our fallenness.
Be grateful for the fall.
And be grateful for that. That was just a great lesson for me to learn, to become thankful for the fall. Why am I thankful for the fall? Well, and you know, and maybe sometimes I have to, in my mind, take a trip back to that, or those couple of episodes, or those experiences that we've had in Institute, where we talk about how being grateful for the fall, because if it wasn't for the fall of Adam and Eve, we wouldn't know pain. But if we didn't know pain, we wouldn't know joy.
Right.
We wouldn't, if we didn't have the fall of Adam and Eve, we wouldn't have sorrow. But if we didn't have sorrow, we wouldn't have joy.
Right.
Right. And we go through the fall and we get discouraged and depressed. But if we didn't have the opposition, because of the fall, we wouldn't understand hope.
And peace.
And peace and encouragement. Yeah. And all of that. Yeah. Top among all of that, probably our agency. You know, that's the one thing that whenever I pray personally, when I say my personal prayers, almost without exception, I thank my Heavenly Father for my agency. And then sometimes I even ask him, can you remind me why I chose it, though? I don't think that's an unfair question.
No.
To ask him. And he often answers it.
Well, and I think when we get to the other side and we see what, you know, there's a talk about this mortality works, yeah, about a lady that had massive challenges here on this earth. And when she passed through the veil, she visited, I believe, her son. I could be telling this wrong, and I'm sorry if I am. But I just remember the conference talk about it is all for our good. I mean, and Joseph Smith hears that in the Carthage Jail or wherever, Liberty Jail.
Liberty Jail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was actually, Elder Holland called Liberty Jail because of that, a temple prison.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's those kind of moments that it's like, can I see the gift that comes in the challenge? Can I see that? And it is work. And there are times that, you know, I'm sure I am the only one that feels this, but there are times I don't want to get on my knees and say my prayers.
Yeah, you're absolutely the only one.
There are times that I do not want to open my scriptures and read. There's another conference talk. I am a conference talk like junkie, but that talks about how Heavenly Father is in relentless pursuit of us. And you know what? He's not the only one that's in relentless pursuit. And we feel the adversary pulling and tugging and discouraging us. And I feel that. I totally feel that. There are days that I feel like I'm on top of the world. I'm up. I'm in reading my scriptures, listening, and I'm getting, you know, that feeling. And then there's other days that I'm like, I'm not getting out of this bed and I'm not opening my scriptures today. I'm running late for work and I'm going to. And you know what? I feel it. Yeah. I know the difference. And I remember hearing people say that, and I'm like, well, good for you. Hallelujah. I mean, that's bad attitude, Deb. But it's like I'm living that now. And it takes effort. And sometimes I just have to do the one thing prayer, I mean, the one word prayer of whatever.
Sounds like a lot of work.
I know. I know.
But if it sounds like a lot of work, then why do it? I mean, I'm asking.
Honestly and truthfully, I love how I feel. After. And I hate how I feel.
Before.
After. Oh. You know, if I choose out, oh. I hate how I feel.
Oh, I see.
I hate, but I love how I feel if I choose in.
I see.
Yeah. I mean, and so I know the net result. It's like going to the gym. Sometimes I absolutely hate going, but I have never left the gym saying, I wish I wouldn't have gone.
Right.
Same thing for the temple.
Right.
This is such an inconvenience. I don't have time for this. I have never walked out of the temple and said, gosh, I wish I wouldn't have gone. Ever.
I know.
Ever. I love how I feel. So the effort to me is worth it because I know how it's going to make me feel in the long run.
In this podcast and in the book, The Divine Gift of Forgiveness, and in our Institute class, and literally because of our laser focus on this topic, everything that we're talking about here is really encapsulated in Jesus Christ's atonement. Everything that we heal, everything that gets better, everything that gets more comfortable, everything that we're given the strength to overcome, everything that we're given the power to go through is because of Christ's atonement. We know that Christ's atonement is administered to us by who?
The Holy Ghost,
right? So we know that when we're filling the Holy Ghost in our life, we know what, Deb?
That the atonement of Jesus Christ is working in our life. Exactly. That we are being forgiven.
That we're being forgiven of our sins.
Yep.
So we're either are forgiven or are in the process of being forgiven of our sins. So when I fill the Holy Ghost in my life, I know that I'm either am forgiven or am in the process of being forgiven of my sins. And what else? The what else part for me is sometimes even, I was going to say more important, I'm going to leave it there. I can be argued out of that potentially, but I'm going to leave it there. Maybe even as important as that is for me to know that the atonement of Jesus Christ is at work in my life, comforting me through double shoulder surgery in the last 8 weeks.
Well, and it's not just the physical, because it has affected you emotionally too,
big time,
and mental.
Yeah,
and I don't know that we always prepare ourselves for what comes.
Yeah,
you know, and then with having someone I love dearly that is going through those challenges and physically uncomfortable and mentally struggling and emotionally, like, it's like that's wearing on me, you know, and I have to plead and say, you know, lift me, help me be his support. Yeah. I don't have this magic button to heal him physically, but how can I support him mentally and emotionally and spiritually? You know, it's a ripple effect, and we are affected by each other and how we feel.
And others around us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what I do know is that when I've had this thought, I've had this feeling more than once lately, that feeling of just, oh my gosh, I just want to give up. Mm-hmm. There's just part of me that's just like, I just want to be done. Please just let whatever that looks like, even if that means you have to take me, let me be done with this, you know, and it comes and goes. And those of you who know me, whatever, call me a wimp, whatever you want to call me, I don't care. But that's what I happen to be going through in some of those times. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that when I'm feeling that, sometimes the help and the hope through Christ's atonement seems like it's so distant to me,
mm-hmm.
because the thing that's in front of me is where my focus seems to be. And when my focus remains there, I get more of what is remaining there. In other words, if I'm focused on poor me, why did I have to do this? Why can't I just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, get better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or why did I even have to go through it in the first place? I'm a healthy young guy.
Yeah.
I'm not young, but I'm a healthy guy. In my mind, I'm young.
Right.
Literally.
Right.
You know,
right.
I ski, I bike. I mean, I do all this stuff that guys 20 years younger than me do, you know. But here I am going through this, and I start feeling for myself, and I feel so distant from any help. I feel so distant from any hope. And when I start feeling that distance, and we're going to reference a talk by Elder Holland here towards the end of the podcast today where we talk about this. But when I'm feeling that distance, I know that nobody moved. I didn't even move. You know, it's just my perspective, because I've heard often somebody will say, well, if you're not feeling the spirit, who moved? And you were feeling it, who moved? I'm not going to take that blame, and I'm not going to cast that blame on others. If you're not feeling the spirit, you didn't necessarily move. Sometimes that's just the way it is. But when I don't, and when I'm feeling that despair, and I have the wherewithal and the memory to plead to Heavenly Father, please just remind me of my worth, remind me of my purpose, remind me of your purpose, remind me of your son's purpose. And all of this, inevitably, and it is literally without exception, at some point I feel some better.
Yeah, for sure.
So how do we do that? You know, we talk about faith. We were just alluding to that. We just kind of went through all the other steps and things that we've talked about so far in the podcast. We talk about the atonement of Jesus Christ. To access the atonement of Jesus Christ requires us to do something. One thing. What is that? Repent and come unto me, right?
Yeah.
I love the way we'll get into you know, some high level repentance stuff today, and I really love the way, Deb, that you explain this to our students every year or every semester in Institute. But do you mind just kind of giving us your perspective on what is repentance? What does that even mean?
Well, back in the day, growing up, like I said, I attended, you know, primary and young men, young women, and I understood repentance as I've done something really bad and I need to go confess, that I got to go to the bishop and mortify myself and confess my sins. That's literally, I mean, because there was a step process of, I can't even remember them. They were a bunch of R's, reconcile I don't even remember them. Anyways, and so I honestly, when I heard the word repentance a lot growing up, I was like, oh, I hope I don't have to repent for this. I hope, do you know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, totally
I had this interesting sign of what it meant. And as I studied and as I learned, and I even listened to yours and Dave's podcast to really understand this. And the divine gift of forgiveness was probably the biggest help for me to understand that repentance just means turning our back to what we don't want and turning our face and our bodies to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
When I learned that repentance was change, that I just need to change my focus, change my direction, change my heart, change my glasses, you know, my poor pitiful glasses to my I can see glasses. I can see God's hand in my life glasses. Just change. Just that little simple thing, change. That when, and even when President Nelson said, find joy in daily repentance. And I'm like, that's a lot of sinning we do if we daily repent. But realistically, it is a constant change. And I plead for change. I mean, I know I am mortal. I know I screw up. I know I mess up. I know I say things I shouldn't and do things I shouldn't. I get that. But when I can, when I know that I can immediately turn my back on that and say, Heavenly Father, I am so sorry. Jesus, thank you for carrying this for me, for dripping this one for me, or whatever it is that I just get to. It's not a have to. I get to change.
Right. It's been that way for me too. I used to see repentance the same way you did, or the same way you just explained it.
We can't be alone.
No, I know we're not alone. I don't know how many hundreds, maybe thousands now, of Institute kids that we've taught over the last 5 years in our Institute callings at BYU, but every one of them have felt that way. And all of our other leaders have felt that way. And every leader that I've ever served with in Elder's Quorum presidencies and other capacities has felt that way. And every leader that you've ever served with has felt that way. And I have stake presidency friends and so on who feel that way and all of that too. So I know that we're not the only ones that feel that way.
I'm grateful that I have been able to change literally.
Yeah.
Change that perception of repentance, because I totally misunderstood it.
When I saw repentance that way, and when I would hear things, and President Nelson said that, since my perspective has changed when he said that we should find joy in daily repentance, my perspective had already changed about that. But when I would hear things akin to that, prior to that, and prior to my perspective around repentance changing, much the same way yours did, I would feel an indictment. I felt indicted, like I was getting in trouble every day. Mm-hmm. You know, well, of course I make mistakes every day. So what, am I supposed to count my mistakes and then take them to the Lord and say, here's where I screwed up again?
ABC, you know, one,
yeah,
two,
I'll
three,
bet you're getting
bullet point two, three,
sure,
four.
Sure proud of me. Here's this one again. Sure proud of me. Here's that one again. Sure proud of me. Here's this one again. Again, 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 again. Human again, right? And I know now that was never his experience. That was my experience, but my experience based on a lie.
Yeah.
Based on a lie. So when I think of repentance today, I think of repentance today like nurturing a relationship. That's what repentance is to me today. When I am in the posture of repentance, I am in the posture of nurturing a divine relationship with heavenly parents and a Savior who, as you said, died for me, mm-hmm. who suffered all of my iniquities, all of my infirmities. Why? So he would know how to succor me, according to Alma 7.
Yeah. And you know what? The more that goes on in this world, the more I think that Garden of Gethsemane must have been absolutely brutal. I mean, I just look at the turmoil and the horrific things that are going on in this world. And I just like, he went below that. He suffered all things, like way below that.
Yeah.
And I know very little compared to what has happened and what is happening and what is going to happen. But the little bit that I know is huge.
Yeah.
It's big enough. And oh, I literally stand all amazed. It blows my mind.
I I agree 100% with all of that. And additionally, I just want to re-emphasize, you know, I think so often, maybe I'm super sensitive, hypersensitive, I would even say, to this, Deb, because I was so hypersensitive to the word repentance. Whenever I heard the whenever I would hear somebody talk about repentance, I felt so indicted. So accused. Yeah. Interesting, right?
Yeah, because who is the accuser?
Exactly.
I know.
Revelations 12, the accuser, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But it's different today. And you know what had to make it different for me today? Is I really had to go back to the very beginning of the season. Not now, but, you know, in theory. You know, when I first got into recovery, for example, you know, my life had taken a nosedive pretty hard. My life today is pretty sweet compared to what it was then, for sure. And it had taken a pretty hard nosedive, and I was really incentivized to do something. And as I began to really just pour out my heart, and we read about prophets, and we'll read about these guys, you know, Ether, and we'll read about Alma the Younger, and we'll read about others next week as we dive more into this term repentance. But when I would hear that word repentance, I would just recoil, almost get sick to my stomach. And much of it was because I was being accused. Much of it was because I was guilty. We all are, but there's little hope for me if there's no change. And I realized that repentance should create and cause change. But where repentance really came important to me, Deb, is when I began to establish and develop a real relationship. You know, not a judge versus the accused type of relationship,
right.
But a relationship with a loving father, a relationship with a son who loved me enough to take upon him all of my iniquities. I know, like Lehi told Jacob, his son, thou art redeemed because of the righteousness of thy redeemer.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm redeemed because of him, not because of me. There's nothing I can do to earn that.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I feel stressed out about the word repentance and all of that, there's nothing I can do. The only thing I can do is continually come to him and to remember that it is through the Spirit that all of these things are made right in my life, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And so I must work to keep the Spirit of the Holy Ghost at work in my life.
Yeah. One of the things that reminded me of is I'm not earning, I'm receiving. I love that. I wrote it down and I kept the paper right here. It's like, yeah, there's nothing we can do to earn that. Nothing. But we can receive it.
Yeah.
If we align with it, we can receive it.
We can receive it.
And like you said, it's that relationship. When you put forth effort in a relationship and you're giving to that relationship, it is inevitable that you will receive.
Yeah.
Inevitable. You can't stop it.
Inevitable. I have just a clip from a talk here from Elder Holland that I want to play.
Oh, I love him.
Don't we all?
I know.
I'm going to miss him. You know, we had Jack Christensen here in this very room several months ago, who's friends with Elder Holland, and he told me, he says, Scott, he's not doing great, you know, and we can tell that. What a great, impactful man Elder Holland is and has been and will forever be because the immortality of the things that he's taught us. One of these things being that, one of those things.
I do not know who in this vast audience today may need to hear the message of forgiveness inherent in this parable. But however late you think you are, however many chances you think you've missed, however many mistakes you feel you've made, or talents you think you don't have, or distance from home and family and God you feel you have traveled, I testify that you have not traveled beyond the reach of divine love. It is not possible for you to sink lower than the infinite light of Christ's atonement shines. Whether you are not yet of our faith, or were once with us and have not remained. There is nothing in either case you have done that cannot be undone. There is no problem which you cannot overcome. There is no dream that in the unfolding of time and eternity cannot yet be realized. Even if you feel you are the lost and last laborer of the 11th hour, the Lord of the vineyard still stands beckoning. Come boldly to the throne of grace and fall at the feet of the Holy One of Israel. Come and feast without money and without price at the table of the Lord. My beloved brothers and sisters, to those of you who've been blessed by the gospel for many years because you were fortunate enough to find it early, and to those of you who've come to the gospel by stages and phases later, and finally, to those of you, member or not yet member, who may still be hanging back, to each of you, one and all, I testify of the renewing power of God's love and the miracle of His grace. His concern is for the faith at which you finally arrive, not the hour of the day in which you got there. So if you've made covenants, keep them. If you haven't made them, make them. If you've made them and broken them, repent and repair them. It is never too late, so long as the master of the vineyard says there is time. Please listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit telling you right now, this very moment, that you should accept the atoning gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the fellowship of His labor. Don't delay. It's getting late.
I just know that when it comes to the things of the world, when it comes to the things that we have to deal with, that we the things that come by way of the fall, the things that sometimes can confuse us, that it's less confusing if we are in constant pursuit of a relationship with Him through the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and it doesn't, He always magnifies my effort.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I put forth a little effort, and sometimes even when I feel like I'm putting forth a lot of effort, it comes back to me tenfold. I mean, it's like one of those things that I can't, you know, get ahead. Not that I will ever, not that I'm truly trying, but it's, He just magnifies our efforts. He magnifies what we do. And it's so sweet to be able to be a reciprocant of that.
Just kind of end on another quote from President Nelson, and I don't know where he said this. I didn't write it down. Maybe I'll have to find that and we'll readdress it next week. But when coupled with faith, repentance opens our access to the power of Jesus Christ's atonement.
Oh.
When coupled with faith, so last week and the week before, right? And it's actually the doctrine of Christ, mm-hmm. right? Faith, repentance, baptism.
Fourth article of faith.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So when coupled rather with faith, repentance opens our access to the power of Jesus Christ's atonement. Jesus Christ's atonement will heal all things. It'll heal me. It'll heal you. It will. And sometimes that healing just is in giving us the strength to deal with or to potentially overcome. Next week, we're going to talk way more about repentance. We need to talk about what repentance is. Sometimes it's important to understand. First, though, what repentance is not. Next week, we will talk about what repentance is not. We've talked about this in every single season that we've done this in the past, but we're going to do it again as we move into what is repentance. And to remember that repentance is the way we make connection. It is through repentance that we establish and maintain a relationship with our heavenly parents and our heavenly family, and that we have the opportunity opportunity to have Christ's atonement heal our lives. So as we close today, we just want to say that wherever you are and however you're feeling, you're welcome here. You know, Jesus isn't just waiting for you to clean everything up before you come to him.
He meets us in the middle. In the middle of our mess and our tumultuous times, that's where his grace shines the brightest. So come as you are, broken, hopeful, questioning, searching, you are not alone.
And you know what? We'd love to stay in contact with you or connected with you. If you have any thoughts or questions, you want to have stories you maybe want to share or questions you'd like us to address on the podcast or even just privately, please email us at heredeemsus@gmail.com. We actually also really appreciate any feedback. We got some important feedback from you, Brig, this last time and appreciate it very much. Thanks so much, Brig.
Oh, we love him.
Yeah.
We love you, Brig. And if this episode touched you or touched your heart, we hope that you would share it with someone you love, anyone that could use a little bit more hope right now and faith.
Yeah.
A little hope and faith in these tumultuous times. I keep bringing up that word. I like using it, I guess.
You Googled it. You might as well.
I did Google it.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to talk about more about repentance. Again, I just mentioned that. But even more than that, I hope that we get the big picture of things. The big picture of things is that we talk about how the Savior doesn't just redeem us. He heals us. He lifts us. And he transforms us in our everyday lives.
Well, we're so grateful for him. Thanks for being with us. And remember, there's always hope through Jesus Christ because you and I have been redeemed through his blood.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.